Hey everyone, welcome back to the English Corners Teaching Tuesday. Today we're going to finish up our Civil War unit for our American Literature study. And today I wanted to go over the Gettysburg Address. If you remember back 2 weeks ago, I said the Gettysburg Address was one of the most well-known speeches ever given in American history. If not the best. I'll let you guys decide that for yourselves. But today we're going to go over a little bit of the background information as to why the Gettysburg Address was written and given. Read over it and then possibly give you guys some thoughts and things to think about when it actually comes to the speech itself. So if you'll hang around today, we'll go ahead and talk about it. Alright, so a little background on the Gettysburg Address. The Gettysburg Address was given, of course, by President Abraham Lincoln in 1863. The Battle of Gettysburg was, as I said a few weeks ago, July 1st through July 3rd in 1863. Abraham Lincoln gave the speech November 19th, 1863. So it was a little bit afterwards, after the shock and horror of the battle was kind of settled a bit. As you know, as many of you should know, Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States and was most well known for his major role in preserving the Union during the Civil War and his hand in abolishing slavery, amongst other things. Lincoln was, of course, elected president in 1860-1861 and assassinated in 1865. His most famous speech, the Gettysburg Address, was given in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, as a way to reiterate the importance of human equality and to commemorate Union soldiers who were killed during the Battle of Gettysburg. This speech was, as I said a few weeks ago, just over 2 minutes long, yet is known as one of the best speeches ever given in American history, if not the best. So I wanted to go through and give you guys some tidbits that you might not know about Gettysburg. Number one, the battle was fought in Gettysburg because of the area road system. It had nothing to do with the actual shoes. The town of Gettysburg had a population of 2,000 people at that time. It was a town on the rise. It boasted 3 newspapers, 2 institutes of higher learning, several churches and banks, but there were no shoe factories or warehouses in Gettysburg. The 10 roads that led into town are what brought the armies of the Union and the Confederacy to Gettysburg. The whole shoe myth can be traced back to the late 1870s statement by a Confederate general, Henry Heth. I suggest you go look in that and see exactly what he said if you are interested. The second thing I wanted to talk about the Gettysburg battle was that, you know, as I said, the battle lasted for 3 days. So the first day's battle was a much larger engagement than is generally portrayed. The first day's fighting, it was at McPherson's Ridge, Oak Hill, Oak Ridge, Seminary Ridge, Barlow's Knoll, and in and around the town. It involved some 50,000 soldiers, of which roughly 15,500 were killed, wounded, captured, or known as missing. The first day in and of itself ranks as the 12th bloodiest battle of the Civil War, with more casualties than the battles of Bull Run and Franklin combined. So that's another tidbit. The third thing was that the second day's battle was the largest and costliest of the whole 3 days' events. So, on the second day, they fought at Den's Devil, the Little Round Top, with the Wheat Field, the Peach Orchard, Cemetery Ridge, Trussell's Farm, Culp's Hill, and Cemetery's Hill. Those were where the fighting took place on day two. That involved at least 100,000 soldiers, of which roughly 20,000 were either killed, wounded, captured, or missing. And whereas the first day was ranked the 12th bloodiest battle, The second day was ranked the 10th bloodiest battle, with far more casualties than the much larger Battle of Fredericksburg. Tidbit number four, of the 120 generals present at Gettysburg, 9 of them were killed or mortally wounded during battle. On the Confederate side, we had Simmons, Barksdale, Armistead, Garnett, and Pender, also Pettigrew during the retreat. On the Union side, we had Generals Reynolds, Zook, Weed, Farnsworth, and Vincent, who was pronounced posthumously. No other battle claimed as many general officers as Gettysburg. Tidbit number five, Culp's Hill and Cemetery Hill were far more important than Little Round Top. Now, while Little Round Top is, of course, far more popular today, its importance to the Union Army was at least debatable. The same cannot be said for Culp's Hill and Cemetery Hill. Those two hills formed the center and right of the Union's main position, and it also protected the Union Army's only real lifeline on July 2nd and July 3rd, the Baltimore Pike. Now, had the Confederates captured and controlled either of those two hills, Union Army would have had to leave Gettysburg area. It was as simple as that. Even in its sweeping views and commanding height, the same can't be said for Little Round Top. Okay, tidbit number six. Pickett's charge was large and grand, but by no means the largest charge of the Civil War. Wasn't even close. Now, Pickett's charge involved about 12,000 Confederate soldiers, but the Confederate charge at Franklin had roughly 20,000. Even that pales in comparison to the grand Confederate charge at Gaines' Mill, which involved more than 50,000 Confederate troops. Even the well-known 260-gun bombardment that preceded Pickett's charge was not the largest in the war. There was at least one bombardment in Petersburg with more than 400 cannons that were involved. All right, tidbit number seven. Battle of Gettysburg is by far the costliest battle of the Civil War, but it wasn't the largest. Now, while each of the 3 days at Gettysburg ranks in the top 15 bloodiest battles of the Civil War, the 160,000 troops present were eclipsed by the more than 185,000 at Fredericksburg. So, just because more people died at Gettysburg doesn't mean that there were more people there. All right, tidbit number eight. 64 medals of honor were awarded to Union soldiers for their actions at Gettysburg. So the deeds spanned the battlefield and were awarded for wartime in the 21st century. 8 were awarded for the actions on July 1st, 28 for on July 2nd, and 29 for on July 3rd. The most recent Medal of Honor given for heroism at Gettysburg was awarded to Alonzo Cushing by President Obama in 2014. Alright, fact number 9. The Gettysburg Address essentially said the same thing as the famous orator Edward Everett's speech, but said in about 1/60th of the time. So we'll look a little bit into what Lincoln said, but, you know, there are 2 sentences that Lincoln uttered, and we'll come back to this in a little bit, but just want you to know that Gettysburg Address did make my little tidbit number 9. And tidbit number 10, while the Gettysburg battlefield is well preserved, there are still numerous parcels to be saved. So the Civil War Trust and the National Park Service have identified several unpreserved parcels which are important to the story of America's greatest battle. So the battlefield itself is amongst the best resources for historians and others to learn about what happened there. The unique terrain, when used in conjunction with the words of those who fought there, images created on the ground, and monuments placed by the veterans, provided an unparalleled learning opportunity. So lots of people need to help to preserve that area in order to make sure that history can still be taught from here on out and not just be something we read in history books and talk about, but something that can actually be visited and possibly even act it out again and have more of that hands-on help and to be able to really allow it to sink in. So, before, that's pretty much all I had before actually reading the speech. So, stick around and you'll hear the roughly 2-minute speech that Abraham Lincoln gave about the Battle of Gettysburg. 80 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in the larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who have fought here have thus so notably advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from those honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that those dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of this people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. That, my friends, was the whole entirety of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. So, I told you it was roughly 2 minutes. The way I read it, it was about 1:45. So remember, little tidbit number 9, that it was 160 at the time of Edward Everett's speech. Mm-hmm. So if you remember, there were 2 sentences that Lincoln had there. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. With those 2 sentences, he was essentially repeating the idea that had already been stated, but more succinctly. Everett had used more than 5,500 words to make the same point. Most every part of the corresponding speeches can be examined this way and leaves no doubt as to why Everett wrote to Lincoln saying, "I should be glad if I could flatter myself that I came as near to the central idea of the occasion in 2 hours as you did in 2 minutes." So those are some of the fun things I have to say about Gettysburg Address. If you have any other thoughts or tidbits of information that you think should be added or any corrections that to what I've already said, please don't hesitate to let me know and we will fix, add, whatever the circumstance may be to make sure that the correct information or more information is given. So I will see you guys on Friday when we continue reading our Friday reading corners.